We're in a series on the Feast of the Lord. And we're looking to the feast, not as some might typically do, to legalistically abide by all of the different things that they do. Some Christians have taken that route. Instead, my preference and my desire is to help us as a congregation see Jesus in the feasts. And how is he fulfilling? God has a timetable. Can someone say amen? God knows what he's doing, when he's doing, and how he wants to do it. And it's up to us to search out his word, to understand according to his heart. What does he say? And how are we to respond? How are our lives to be like his? And how are we to be ready? Remember, we preached several messages on be ready. You probably all still have your cards. Hold up your cards if you've got them in your Bible. All right, a few of you have them. It looks like this. There might even still be a few at the back table. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready for whatever God is going to do. All right, we take a look. We take a look at the Feast of the Lord. There's actually three main feasts. There's Passover, there's Pentecost, and there's Tabernacles, but it's expressed in many different ways. And there are different elements to each. This morning, we're going to talk about unleavened bread and sheaf of first fruits. Those took place on God's calendar, the first month of God's calendar. The third month became Pentecost. How many remember that after the ending of unleavened bread's feast, you were to count seven sevens, or seven Sabbaths, if you will. 49 days plus one became 50 days from the last of the Passover or the last of the unleavened bread feasting, then became Pentecost. 50 days. And so what you have in your own life is as you surrender to the Lord in Passover, you're covered over by the blood of Jesus. You immediately enter into a time of unleavened bread. God begins to clean up your life. In this room, when you gave your life to Jesus, did Jesus clean up your life? You don't do the same things, you know, I shared a testimony. I don't do the same things I used to do. Thank God he changes your life. So unleavened bread, being without leaven, is a type in the scriptures for sin and for pride and hypocrisy. We'll go into that a little bit more this morning. I have a substantial teaching this morning to do so you understand the different elements. But then you go on to, from there, in your life, you dedicate your life to the Lord, you walk with him, and then he gives you the strength and the anointing of Pentecost in your life. There's a personal Pentecost, baptism in the Spirit, that comes upon each of us to give us the strength to walk through this walk daily with Jesus. How many know life is not always easy? He who speaks in an unknown tongue does what, the Bible says? Edifies himself. Now, this gift of speaking in tongues is the most usual accompanying sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not the only sign. But the scripture tells us there's edification, there's building up, there's substantial strength. And then you continue through an interval, fourth, fifth, and sixth month, and then you come to the seventh month where there's another triad of events, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles. You have the spring feasts, Passover, unleavened bread, sheaf of first fruits. That was in the spring of the year. And then you move into, in the fall of the year, trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. The fall feast. Spring harvest in Israel was the barley harvest. The fall is the wheat harvest. And it all gets you ready for the tabernacle event, which is the final harvest of their year, which was the fruit. Once you've surrendered your life and been strengthened by the Holy Spirit, how many know we're supposed to bring forth the fruit of Jesus in our lives? How many want to be a part of bringing God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven? There needs to be real disciples, living witnesses who bear the fruit of Jesus in their life so we can be called Christians. What does Christian mean? Little Christ or Christ-like. Three times in the scripture. But the word disciple means exactly the same thing. And the word disciple is 240 times in the gospel, 24 times in the book of Acts alone. So when you say, I'm a Christian, or are you a Christian? Or when you ask, a lot of people will raise their hand. Then you ask, how many are disciples? Fewer people raise their hands. But it's exactly the same word. The same hands should be up. Because if you didn't give your life to the Lord and surrender wholly, then you need to get saved still, right? Turn to each other and say, make sure you're saved. All right. And I also passed out, in front of you. I also handed out the wheel of the Hebraic or the Hebrew calendar. Here we go, Pat. It's a little bit different. And in fact, the Bible, when you think of these things with the Hebrew mindset, a lot more things make sense. Now, in fact, the Bible says these are feasts of the Lord. They're not the Jewish feasts. These are feasts of the Lord. The Bible says, God says, these are my feasts to be kept. Now, in the Old Testament, only a Jew or somebody who had surrendered their life to the Lord and become a Jew could participate in these feasts. Nowadays, those of us who are covered by the blood of Jesus and engrafted in by faith, by His grace, we can enter in to all of these celebrations by faith in Christ. And there's rich meaning for us. How many understand one of the meanings or one of the words of the convocations is the word, and it means dress rehearsal. The feasts that they've kept for 1,500 years or more are dress rehearsals for the real. Who is the real?
Jesus
is the real. But they kept these dress rehearsals, carrying them out. They still carry them out without eyes to see how God has fulfilled these through Jesus. Jesus was crucified and He fulfilled Passover. You guys, it's so cool. He fulfilled Passover at exactly the same hour as they were crucifying, if you will, or killing the Passover lamb. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain and crucified, and the final sacrifice for sin took place. Say it with me. Final sacrifice. How many know there's no more need for sacrifices? But you see, Jesus shed His blood, and if you don't understand that, they long for the temple to be restored so sacrifices can begin again. But Jesus is the sacrifice who shed His blood. The lamb was taken and His blood was sprinkled on the doorposts. When you come into Jesus, the blood of the Lamb is applied to your life. The blood of Jesus. That's why we ask Jesus, when we repent of our sins, to wash us clean by the blood He shed on Calvary. Remember, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. No separation of sin from the sinner. No taking away of sin. Somebody had to die for sin. Come on, Pastor Kev, I'm a nice guy. Well, I'm sure you are a nice guy. But somewhere in your life, there's sin. How do you deal with it? You get it washed away by the blood of Jesus. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary so you and I don't have to. Come on, somebody say, thank God.
Thank God.
All right, so the Passover, as we took a look at it, was the first day of the feast, followed by the 7 days of unleavened bread. It was also known as the 8 days of Passover. All right, feasts again are God's idea. Exodus 23, 14 through 17, and then we'll get into some other scriptures. Tell God's people that they're to go up to Jerusalem. The males were to go, representing the authority, representing their families, 3 times a year to worship God in Jerusalem. For the Feast of Unleavened Bread or Passover, the Feast of Harvest or Pentecost, and the Feast of Ingathering or Tabernacles. Genesis 1, verse 14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. So God didn't just do something randomly. It was for a sign. It was for a season. The Hebrew word sign, just a little rehearsal. The Hebrew word for sign is the Hebrew word oath. And it means a signal, a beacon, a sign. The word seasons in the Hebrew is moed. And it means appointment, a festival. Or a signal. These things were signals. They were pointing. They were signs pointing. You got 10 miles to go before you get to Port Ludlow. It's a sign out of the side of the road. It's pointing a direction. It's letting you know you're on course, but there's somewhere to go. You're not driving down the road so you can go park and live and enjoy the sign, but so you can go to the place the sign is telling you about. All right, so God sets the feast appointments as signs. The convocation is the Greek word or the Hebrew word mikra. Say it with me, please. Mikra. And it means a rehearsal or a dress rehearsal for the real deal. All right, let's go on. Unleavened bread. The scripture says they were to put away all leaven. This is where the concept, we've spoken about it last week or week before a little bit. Ladies, how many of you do spring cleaning? Okay, not enough of you. How many of you grew up doing spring cleaning in your house? How many wish you still did? No, I'm kidding. All right. Pastor Kev, you're single. Don't come to my house and look. Okay. My cleaning is whatever time of year I can get to it, it gets done. Anyway, so spring cleaning, this is what it came from. As they scraped through the boards and the floors and everywhere, as they just did so much effort to get rid of any leaven. No leaven in the house. Dad used to make it fun when it was all said and done. Mom would leave a little leaven over by the cooking area, and Dad would take the children all through the house to make it fun. And do you find any leaven? We can't find any leaven. And then they would find the little lump by the cooking area. Oh, I found some leaven, Daddy! And they'd pick it up, and they'd have a feather and a spoon, and they'd put the leaven into the spoon, and they'd drop it into a special bag, and they'd carry it out of their house and put it into a little bonfire. And everybody else in the community had the leaven coming to the bonfire as they burned it together, getting rid of all leaven. And the Bible shows us the whole meaning is getting rid of sin. How many know it's a good day when you get rid of sin in your life? Come on, have you ever had a repentance experience where you know the conviction of the Spirit is on your life, and you're sitting there going, that's kind of miserable those times, right? Oh, I blew that. Shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have acted that way. And praise God, we hope to grow so we don't act that way, right? But when you do, you say, oh, gracious, forgive me, Lord. And that's what He wants. He wants us to repent, which doesn't mean just say, please forgive me, but to turn away from it, right? So we don't do it again. Repentance, 180-degree turn. You're going that way, you turn around, go back the other way, but your sin keeps right on going. Separation of sin from the sinner. The whole perspective of getting rid of the leaven is getting rid of sin. All right, let's go to the Scriptures. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, 15 through 20. Dan and Roxanne, those are the main Scriptures for this morning. So there's your context. Exodus 12, 15 and 20. I didn't write that on that card, sorry. Exodus 12, 15 through 20. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. How many know this is a serious deal?
Yeah.
Come on. Serious with God, cutting sin off of the life. If you didn't change when you gave your life to Jesus, or you prayed a sinner's prayer, if you didn't change, if you kept right on going, headlong, habitually, wholeheartedly loving sin, just like before, then you didn't get saved. It's quiet in this room. And you're looking at me going, thank God for the word habitually. I don't habitually do that anymore. Okay. Okay. But, or how many know? The Bible says, come on, can you be honest with me? There's pleasure in sin for a season, right?
Yeah.
You sinners, how do you know that? There's pleasure in sin for a season. Okay, man, if it feels good, do it. But how many know the rooster comes home?
Yeah.
Or the whatever comes home to roast? Mix your metaphors, pick one. Man, it comes back to haunt you. All of a sudden, ooh, that's not so good. That doesn't feel good. That didn't have a good conclusion. That's not so good. I couldn't. Heck, Al. Man, you're the first one that ever got us those drugs. I'm so sorry. She says, I wasn't. But I gave my life to Jesus. That was, you knew that, right? Well, okay. Nice to see you. Okay. So I'm walking away 40 years later going, forgive me again, Lord. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But you know what's kind of funny is I always tried to influence people into whatever I was doing. So now follow me in Christ, okay? Thank God for the cleansing blood. But some of these conclusions are not something to rejoice in the past, but to say thank God for the change. And there's a conclusion to our actions, to our attitudes. And God's serious about it. If you don't get rid of the leaven, He said, you're going to be cut off from Israel. Honest question. You don't have to raise your hands, but I bet at least a few people know what I'm talking about. How many know sometimes in your past, maybe somewhere, even after you gave your life to the Lord, you sinned once? I thought I'd be safe. And if you kept on sinning and stayed in that sin, or you started having and living secret sin, how many of you know all of a sudden you didn't enjoy going to church as much? All of a sudden those messages, that pastor's not really speaking to me. All of a sudden you don't feel as close to your Christian friends anymore. Why? Because the soul that doesn't get rid of the leaven is cut off from Israel. You start cutting the ties that keep your heart tender before the Lord. Let's use another metaphor. You take a coal out of the fire, burning hot in the fire, and you set it to the side. How's it do? Starts cooling down. You take that coal, put it back in the fire, what happens? So if you have secret sin in your life and you've chosen to separate yourself, you're going to notice you feel cut off from Israel. Okay? The type, the fulfillment of the type in Scripture. This teaching, the understanding. Has it been like that ever in your life? Come on. All of a sudden you don't feel so close to people. It's a real thing. It's a real thing. And you know, you heard the story about the pastor who had a guy, it was a husband of one of his parishioners, who stopped coming to church and just stayed out and stayed out and stayed out. And finally the pastor, after a few months, went over to the guy's house. It was wintertime, and they just sat down and chatted a little bit. He was stirring the fire, and the pastor just reached over with his tongs and took one of the coals and just set it to the side and sat back down, and they kind of looked at each other and talked a little bit. It was kind of quiet. The coal just went out. Finally, the guy looked at the pastor and he said, I want to thank you, Pastor, for coming over today and preaching one of your best sermons. The pastor went home, and the man returned. But it happens like that. We help each other in the Lord, and we strengthen each other. Okay, let's go on. Verse 16. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. On the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. Notice, two convocations, two Sabbats or Sabbaths in that week of Passover. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this same day I've brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Here's the why. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he's a stranger or native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread. Exodus 13, verse 7. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. Like the Passover, you guys, the Feast of Unleavened Bread had great educational value in the home. It was like a sign on their hand or their forehead. It was a continual reminder year by year of God's powerful deliverance from Egypt. And you know, how many know that Egypt is a type of the world? So God delivers us from Egypt. He delivers us from sin, and we consecrate ourselves to Him. All right, what's leaven? What is leaven? Here's a few thoughts on leaven. Ordinary leaven consisted of a lump of old dough in a high state of fermentation, which was mixed into a massive dough that was prepared for baking. How many of you make homemade sourdough bread? Okay? You ever have a starter? Okay, so they all, you know, all use a starter. The most prominent idea in the Bible about leaven is in connection with the corruption which it has undergone. It breaks down, it ferments, the process of fermentation. Now watch the spiritual principles involved here. Jesus used leaven as an illustration many times. Why? It has a secret, penetrating and very diffusive power. It was emblematic of moral influence, whether good or bad. Most cases in the Bible, it's considered bad. Jesus adopts it as an illustration of the growth of the kingdom of heaven in the individual heart and world at large. Because how many know you can influence somebody for good or influence somebody for bad? Turn to each other and say, I want to help you for good. Why did Jesus use this? Number one, about leaven. We're talking about leaven for a moment. The source of it is from without. The source of the change is from without you. It's secret in its operation. Just quietly begins to change everything all around it. It spreads by contact. Little particle with little particle. It is widely diffusive. One particle of leaven can bring change to any number of articles and particles of flour. You don't need a whole ton of it. It does not act like water where you moisten a certain amount of flour. But it's like a plant because it changes the particles it comes into contact with into its own nature. It's got a propagating power. Now watch. What's the Bible say? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Bad company corrupts, say it with me please, good morals. The New Living says bad company corrupts good character. How many of you, your mom looked at you when you were a kid and said, I don't want you to run with that crowd. You ain't running with that crowd. So I'd leave my home. And then I'd take my nice jeans and I would unfurl them into all the shreds that I had made at home. Because when I was at home, you ain't running with the crowd. Oh, no, not me. I'd get out the door, I'd down there go. And, hey, how you doing? You know, and you're looking like I'm the only guy who ever did that. I probably am. Thanks, Jeannie. Love you too, sweetheart. Yeah. Okay, anyway. But you all had your own expressions of rebellion. But don't run with it, you know, don't smoke, don't chew, don't run with those who do, right? You know, you're going to keep yourself clean. Why? Because bad company corrupts good morals. You're going to jump off the cliff if they jump off the cliff too? Because we just go along, dopey, dopey, dopey. Unless Jesus intervenes. Leaven was a type of sin in the Bible. Now listen. We spent a lot of time around here a long time ago dealing with stop backbiting. Remember? Who could forget? Stop backbiting. Stop gossiping. Stop going behind the back. Because typical churchianity lives that way. And it's ungodly and it's wicked and destroys churches and destroys family. What does the Bible say to do instead? You go one-on-one biblically to the person you have the ought with. If you have ought with me, it won't do you a bit of good to go talk to Aunt Matilda about it. You got to come talk to me. That's what the Bible says. Someone say amen. Okay. You know what's wrong if you don't? Just like leaven. You get involved and you say, do you see what that stupid pastor did? Mm-hmm. One particle at a time. All of a sudden, I take a guy who's fine with me, has no problem with me. And pretty soon he stops and he goes, yeah, I wonder what's wrong with that guy. Wasn't a participant, didn't see the issue, didn't see it, didn't understand it. If he did see it, he wasn't a part of it. And all of a sudden, my negative leaven changes another person. And then I'm over here and I'm whispering and I say, you know, I really can't stand how Pastor Kevin or Pastor Sherry do that. I think they really ought to change that, don't you? And nobody's got enough integrity to come say it to Pastor Kevin or Pastor Sherry. I'm just using an illustration. Stop squirming. I'm not after anybody. Okay? But you see what I mean? I mean, take away the pastors. Or for one another. Can you believe how C says yeehaw?
He's good at it.
But, you know, it takes that just a little bit, one at a time. What about, yeah, Pastor Kez put on a little weight. No, he's losing it. That's okay. Anyway. But it, little bits at a time. And all of a sudden, you have a big attitude in the church. Because people have backbitten and sowed in seeds of discord. And it's hurtful. And it's wicked. And it's what the sin, like leaven, does. So what do you do instead? Somebody comes to you and says, hey, you see Pastor Kev? You look at him and say, yeah, he's great, isn't he? You just can't say that. No, but if you have a problem, you just put your ears in. I'm sorry, I'm not going to listen. That's gossip. The Bible says that's backbiting, that's gossip. I'm not going to listen to it. You go to the person you got the problem with. Love you, honey. I'll pray for you as you go. But you go. And don't come to me. If the body of Christ would do that, we would stand together and not be such folly of division if we'd handle it the way the Bible says. Okay? That's just an illustration, though. But that's how leaven works. Sin has a corrupting influence. Let's go on. God's wanting to clean his house. We're talking about unleavened bread. So Jesus comes into Jerusalem prior to Passover. He kicks the money changers out of the temple. He's helping his dad get rid of the leaven in the house prior to unleavened bread. Remember, Passover, then 7 days of unleavened bread. They spent their time as a kid getting rid of leaven. Jesus gets rid of the leaven. All right. We are his house. Say, I'm part of God's house. Let's go through the scriptures. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Do not you know that you are the temple of God? The Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2, you have an illustration. I won't even need to read it, but you remember in 1 Corinthians 5 where Paul is confronting the church because they need to get the leaven out of the church. And in that case, it was a stepson having sex with a stepmother. And he's going, you got to stop this business. And they were all proud of it. See, remember Corinth, to Corinthianize. Remember, it was a wild party scene. And Paul says, that's not the church of Jesus. You need to get rid of the sin in the camp. Or else the whole camp can't be blessed. And then they did. You remember, they responded beautifully to the Lord. 2 Corinthians, he comes around and he goes, now you did it so well. Now you got to love the guy. You got to love the guy and bring him back in and restore him. But Paul taught them how to get rid of the sin in the church. 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know, say it with me please, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you are truly are unleavened. Look at each other and say, you're a nice looking lump. Okay. All right. So indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, now see, here's your context, you guys. Old Testament Passover and unleavened bread. Look as you come to the New Testament. This is why the verse says, therefore, let us keep the what? The feast. What was he talking about? Passover and unleavened bread. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So our lives are changed. We're conformed into his image. If you wholly have surrendered your life to Jesus, you can't help it. The Spirit of God begins to change you, and the Spirit starts kicking the leaven out of the house. The spirit of our age is lawlessness. Do what's right in our own eyes. But remember, it's not just gracy, gracy, nicey, nice Jesus in the New Testament. They brought him the woman caught in the act of adultery. He did not stone her or condemn her, but he told her, go, say it with me please, and sin no more. No more. Okay? He cleanses the temple twice. The book of John, chapter 2, records the first time he puts together a whip of cords and chases the money changers out of the temple, which they had turned into a marketplace. He does it again according to the next three Gospels, or the other three Gospels, just before his crucifixion, cleaning at Passover. And he accuses them, these money changers, of turning God's house, remember, into a den of robbers and thieves. Now, Hang in here real quickly. Let's talk about what's that context. What's going on? God originally told the Israelites to bring an animal from their own herd because then you're identified with your own surrender and sacrifice. You're identified. Listen, if you just think you can get along in the kingdom of God because everybody else is getting saved, you'll just kind of splash along under the umbrella. It doesn't work that way. How many know every single person needs their own surrendered relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm not a good saved person because Uncle Charlie was saved or because my folks brought me up in the church. I got saved because I had to get saved for myself. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever, not just so the whole crowd, but whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He changes us one heart at a time. Okay. God instructed us to bring our own animals, or the Israelites to bring their own animals, the best of the flock, for sacrifice. Caiaphas. You remember the name Caiaphas? All right. Caiaphas had authorized a market to take place in the temple for the sale of what he called, and he had a whole bunch of servants lined up on his team helping him, what they called ritually pure items for temple sacrifice. Wine, oil, salt, approved sacrificial animals and birds. And all this marketplace was happening in the court of the Gentiles. Money from three sources circulated in Jesus' day. Roman money, Greek money, and then there was the local Jewish money. In the temple, they had to give a temple tax, a half a shekel every year. And in the temple, they would only accept local Jewish money. Greek and Roman money bore inscriptions or faces and heads of the leaders. And the Jews felt that was completely idolatrous. They would not accept that money in their temple. So Caiaphas had a whole bunch of money changers in the temple. And they would exchange the foreign money into Jewish money to be given in the temple. Only they charged a horrific, exorbitant, gouging rate. They made huge profits, especially at Passover time. Jesus was angry at the dishonest, greedy practices of the money changers and the merchants. He hated their presence on the temple grounds. These guys set up shop in the court of the Gentiles, and they made it so full of merchants, the foreigners, the Gentiles. This was as close as they could get to the temple and in the temple. They were supposed to be able to come and worship. They couldn't get through the crowd of money changers. It had also become a highway where these merchants were hauling their animals right through the court of the Gentiles across town. The Gentiles couldn't get in to seek the Lord if their life depended on it, which it did. So Jesus turns over the money changers' tables, He drives them out, and He says, "You have turned my Father's house into a den of robbers and thieves." If you go to the book of Malachi, it tells us, in essence, the Messiah will come to His house like a refining fire. So He was dealing with these horrific practices. Now, let me just make one aside and we'll continue. How many know the Church of Jesus Christ has an awful lot of money changing take place today? An awful lot of merchandising in the house of God, and people can't get through to worship without having 10 billion things shoved down their throats. We've got to be careful. That doesn't mean you can never have something for sale that's going to bless the people of God. But if it turns into a money-changing situation, you've got anathema before God. We must be careful. All right, let's go quickly on. So there's your background. 7 days of unleavened bread. 7 days. All right. The number seven. The number seven is hundreds of times in the scripture. God rested after the seventh day. Remember, after the days of creation. And it was a complete It actually refers to and means completion or fullness. So, 7 days of unleavened bread, meaning complete separation from all things leavened in your life, so you can feed on Jesus as the bread of life. Who's the bread of life? What's his name?
Jesus.
So he wants us to feed upon him. The Sabbath. Every feast day was a Sabbath. Every feast day was a holy consecration, a high day. The Passover month or week had two Sabbaths. Cessation from work, meaning, as a believer, you rest from your own works. You're not going to get saved by your own works, right? And you enter into the work of the Lord. No striving in our spirits. Significance of unleavened bread means sanctification, separation from everything that would corrupt, and being consecrated to the Lord. Very quickly, I don't know if I have them up there. Maybe I do. You know, there are five kinds of leaven in the Scripture. Just to give you some understanding, we'll do this real quick. Number one was the leaven of, if you'll lift that up just a little bit, Pat. Thank you. Leaven of Herod. You find the Scriptures and you see Herod was a total worldly man. He was a just horrifically worldly and murderous. And it refers to the spirit of worldliness. The leaven of the Sadducees refers to doctrine. They didn't believe, and remember, the supernatural? They didn't believe in angels or the bodily resurrection. Their doctrine was like leaven, the leaven of the Sadducees. The leaven of the Pharisees was hypocrisy. They didn't practice what they preached. They say and do not. The leaven of Corinth was sensuality. They were puffed up, he says in Corinthians, full of pride instead of repentant over the sin. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Then there's the leaven of Galatia. Remember that? Legalism. Mixture of law and grace. Moses and Jesus. Confusion of Old Testament and New Testament revelation. Flesh and spirit. Remember the Judaizing preachers who came in behind Paul in all the churches he started and tried to put them right back under the law of Moses and bondage? So when you keep the Passover, you surrender to him. You're covered by the blood of Jesus. You immediately enter into separation from sin, not because you have to, but because the Holy Spirit has changed you, and you don't want to do those things anymore. You put off sin, the Bible says, and put on Christ. Say it with me. Put off sin, put on Christ. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8, let us keep the feast not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Purity and truth. Purity, not with corrupting influences. Truth, no deceit. Not living a secret sin-filled life. All right, unleavened bread. Let's quickly go on to the sheaf of first fruits, because this was the last day of the unleavened bread feast. Passover, followed by 7 days of unleavened bread, and on the last day was the sheaf of first fruits. Leviticus 23, 10 and 11. Just quickly, you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all dwellings. There's the Old Testament. All right, so they gathered together a lump of harvested grain, just a sheaf of it, and they waved it before the Lord. The priest would wave it before God in the temple. Let's see the New Testament fulfillment. 1 Corinthians 15, 20-23. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the, say it with me please, first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, so man also came the resurrection of the dead. Or by man came the resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, those who are Christ at his coming. Immediately we see in the Scripture that Jesus is the first fruit sheaf. And he fulfills the Old Testament. When they were walking through the promised land, they didn't have the fields to do this. So that's why the first instruction was, as you come into your land, this is what you will do. How many thank God resurrection's coming?
Yes.
Come on, turn to each other and say, resurrection's coming.
Resurrection.
Now say it southern to somebody else, resurrection's coming. Resurrection's coming, thank God. Jesus being resurrected from the dead is the proof that resurrection is coming. Thank God, the firstborn among many brethren. Resurrection's coming. The standing ripe harvest, barley and wheat would soon be reaped. We have the morrow after the Sabbath, sheaves. Now, how many know sheaves or sheaves typically refer to people? In the Old Testament, Joseph had a dream. 11 sheaves bow down to his one sheaf. And his whole family got offended at him when he told them the dream. Some dreams you just hold on to. Okay? But everybody got offended. So the sheaves represented different people. How many remember the old song? Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. I stopped halfway, sorry. Finish it. I kind of did that on one of our songs this morning too, didn't I? Sheaves represent people. Psalm 126, remember? He who goes forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him, the Bible says. First fruits, crucial to God. Always the first fruits of man and beast. The best, the most important, the foremost, the choicest, the preeminent of what was to follow. It was holy to the Lord. New Testament, Jesus fulfills it all. Watch this. He was the, say it with me, firstborn of Mary. Can you lift it up high? Real good. First, thank you, sweetie. Firstborn of Mary. First begotten of the Father. Firstborn from the dead. First begotten of the dead. In all things, Jesus is the preeminent one. Someone say amen. Amen. The beginning of the creation of God. He was the firstborn among many brethren. The firstfruits of the resurrected one. Jesus was the forerunner sheaf. An example of the coming harvest. He splits the grave and we call it Easter. Only Easter, though it's supposed to represent the fertility, it was a pagan ceremony. All right? Now it's celebrated with rabbits and bunnies. It's supposed to be representing life. But agrarian economy in Israel, they were harvesting. And it always reminded them of God's goodness so the harvest could take place and people could rejoice and eat. The harvest was always pointing to God, not to a bunny rabbit.
That's right. He didn't die for our sins.
That's right. A bunny didn't die for our sins. Jesus did. Now, I choose to celebrate Christmas, though it's probably likely Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. And I celebrate Easter, though it's a pagan thing. I don't care. You know why? I get to tell everybody about Jesus who rose from the dead. So we're not going to be weird or freakish about it. Some people are so weird they won't even say the word. Okay, it's a pagan ceremony. Okay, that's true. Thank God Jesus rose from the dead. Aren't you glad? That deserves a yeehaw. The forerunner sheaf. Passover, barley, Pentecost, wheat, first fruits harvest because tabernacles would come and bring fruit. Salvation, baptisms, bringing the fruit of Jesus in our lives. This sheaf was taken to the house of the Lord and waved. Can you raise your hands with me this morning and wave them before the Lord? Lifting up holy hands. When he rose from the dead, Jesus told Mary, don't touch me yet. I've not ascended to the Father to present the blood and the waving of the sheaf. The sheaf waved before Joseph, or Jehovah rather, the sheaf waved before Jehovah was accepted for Israel. Paul tells New Testament believers that they are accepted in the Beloved. Sin made us unacceptable to God. Jesus made us acceptable again. Come on, turn to each other and say, aren't you glad? Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus, the first fruits of resurrection. And church, we who are His will follow. Thank God. The people that you've known who have gone on before you and into death, who belong to Him. There's a resurrection coming. Praise God. They're in the presence of God, but there's a great resurrection and a great harvest coming. Now, we're going to finish this morning and we will wrap up. We're going to do communion now. And let me tell you why. And so, Dean, if you and the other guys you've spoken to will get the elements ready, I'll finish this up. But everything in all of these feasts is celebrated as we celebrate communion. Go ahead, Ken. If you didn't get spoken to, that's fine. Please help. We finish these feasts as we look at Holy Communion. Watch this. Passover Supper and the Lord's Supper. In Passover, we celebrate the Old Covenant Feast, and the Lord's Supper, the New Covenant Feast. Passover Lamb under the Passover, the Lamb of God in the Lord's Supper. The flesh of unleavened bread in the Passover, the bread which is His flesh in the Lord's Supper. Thank you. The bitter herbs in the Passover, the sufferings on Calvary in the Lord's Supper. The blood of the Lamb under Passover, the blood of Christ under the Lord's Supper. The sheaf of first fruits in Passover, the resurrected Christ in the Lord's Supper. Until the cross under the Passover Supper, after the cross under the Lord's Supper. Until it comes, the first coming of Christ is celebrated as they look forward in the Passover. The Lord's Supper, we celebrate until He come, the second coming. The first Passover, I've got some, thank you. The first Passover is the memorial service. The Lord's Supper is, do this in remembrance of me. What are you remembering? Church, in communion, what are you remembering? You're remembering the Passover lamb who was slain for you. You're remembering the unleavened bread being sanctified and set apart. And the if you ever looked at unleavened bread, the Shavuot, or whatever it's called, there's stripes on it. By His stripes, we are healed. And you see all of those things provided by Jesus. And we do this in remembrance of Him. The first fruits of resurrection, the sheaf of resurrection or the first fruits is Jesus. And so we do this remembering His bloodshed, His body broken, and we're healed and filled with life. Under the Passover Supper, there was deliverance and redemption from Pharaoh and Egypt brought out of the house of bondage. In the Lord's Supper, we celebrate deliverance and redemption from Satan and the world, from the kingdom of darkness. You see how Jesus fulfills each of these feasts? And now, church, we count 49 days plus one. And it's the Omer. And that's the word in the Hebrew, an Omer of barley or an Omer. It was counting. They called it the time of the Omer, and they started counting 50 days. After this last celebration, because then it was Pentecost. The law came and 3,000 people died. Pentecost came and 3,000 got saved. There's a new hope in a new covenant with our Lord who fulfills these feasts. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Someone say, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and then we'll come to a close after celebrating communion. I thought it was appropriate for us to do this and then take communion this morning. Verse 23 of chapter 11 through 31 or through 32, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. And now it may make more sense. They celebrated the Passover. They had their supper together. They weren't holding, by the way, at their last supper, a big, full, leavened loaf. They were eating unleavened bread, so that picture and portrayal is incorrect. This was the time of unleavened bread in Israel. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Our Jesus, the fantastic Passover Lamb, the final Lamb and sacrifice for sin, His body was broken for you and me. And as we see this bread broken this morning, we see His body broken for us. If you need healing in your body, receive it as you participate. As you celebrate your covenant with Him, do it full of meaning and life this morning. Jesus brought new understanding. The dress rehearsal had happened for 1,500 years, fulfilled in Jesus. Let's all participate together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your body being broken for us, for your sacrifice for us, for what you did on the cross of Calvary, for fulfilling God's timetable and coming as a Lamb of God, for shedding your blood and applying it to our lives. Oh, Jesus, we give you thanks. Can you just say thank you, Lord Jesus? Thank you, Lord Jesus. We get to celebrate and do this in remembrance of you. Now, as we participate in the fruit of the vine, we do so remembering His blood was shed. This covenant was ratified by the shedding of the blood of Jesus. And now you don't have to try to do this in your own strength to be good enough with God. You simply receive the blood shed for you and me. Let's participate with rejoicing in remembrance of Him. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We rejoice in you, O God. Hallelujah, Lord. We rejoice in your name. Can you lift up praise to God this morning? Just praise Him right where you are. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. We give you glory. We give you glory and praise. We are grateful for you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, please? Lord, as we come to a close this morning, we come to a close with such thanksgiving. You can get lost in all the Scriptures, but what it tells us is that we serve a God who cares so deeply for us, who has provided for us every step of the way. And Lord, I'm grateful, and I'm sure all these people here are too, that we are on this side of the cross. We look back with hindsight, 2020 hindsight, seeing, oh, that's what you were doing. And we're grateful for it, Lord. Now bless each one of these precious people who've given their time today to come to the house of the Lord and celebrate you, our Passover Lamb. Take these truths, let them live within our spirits, and we go forth with rejoicing because you are so good. Bless each one. Now we pray in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Have a fantastic day in the Lord. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to the Lord, I urge you to come surrender to Him. If you need healing in your body, we'll take time to pray for you as well. There's refreshments in the back. See you Wednesday night, and God bless y'all.